Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
I'm Rishbhan, a filmmaker from here in Assam, in the northeast of India. In my work, I've travelled around the region searching for stories to tell and experiences to share. One image that has stayed with me is of a pregnant worker fetching water from a dirty pond in one of the tea gardens of Assam. The workers live in horrid conditions whilst working long hours picking tea to be shipped around the world. One of the consequences of unhygienic sanitation and cramped living conditions is a spread of tuberculosis, or more commonly known as TB. Until COVID-19, TB was the deadliest infectious disease in the world. The World Health Organization says the bacterial infection is contracted by nearly 10 million people globally every year, with between 1 and 1.5 million cases resulting in death. In May 2014, they set a target to end the TB epidemic by 2035, and the following year, the United Nations set a goal for eradication by 2030. But in 2018, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi set the country a monumental challenge that would eclipse both the WHO and the UN.
TB ko khatm karne ke liye varsh 2030 tak ka samay.
2030 is the set deadline for eradication of TB. However, I want to inform you from this podium that we are aiming for eradication 5 years prior to 2030. I.e. 2025
tak TB ko khatm karne ka lakshya apne tay kiya.
But can a country with the largest population and the highest percentage of global cases really succeed? I'm Rishbhanu Barua, and this is the documentary India's Fight Against TB from the BBC World Service. India is home for just under 18% of the Earth's population, roughly 1.5 billion people. Yet, as recently as 2022, we account for around 25% of the global cases of TB. It's estimated that someone catches the disease every 11 seconds, and that two people will die from it every 3 minutes. TB is a disease that can damage your lungs, your joints, bones, skin and stomach. But what causes TB?
Tuberculosis is caused by a germ called Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which essentially passes on from one person to another through the air.
Dr. Lancelot Pinto is a consultant pulmonologist and epidemiologist at the Hinduja Hospital in Mumbai, in the west of India.
There are foci of TB germs which have been found in the mummies of ancient Egyptians, thereby suggesting that this is a germ that has lived with humans for a very, very long time, and is likely to stay with us for a long time as well. Now, what's fascinating about tuberculosis is the fact that infection and disease are two different entities. So you can get infected, but not really manifest the disease. And only about 5 to 10% of individuals who do get infected manifest the disease over the course of a lifetime. So if your immunity is low, you are more likely to manifest the disease than someone who has a robust immunity. And what are the conditions that cause immunity to be low? We know that nutrition and TB are strongly correlated, and malnutrition is a strong risk factor for tuberculosis. We know that if you have immunocompromising conditions such as diabetes, such as chronic kidney disease or liver disease, you are more prone to developing TB. And individuals who smoke can have a twofold risk of developing the disease by virtue of their smoking and thereby lowering the immunity of the lungs.
People don't talk openly about having TB, but we managed to speak to several people from across the country about their experiences. One of them is Ashna Ashish, a lawyer from Patna in the northeast of India.
I had a swollen lymph node. It was a cervical lymph node. So basically the lymph node right above your collarbone. Because of the location of the lymph node, I knew that it's not like, you know, tonsillitis. It's something quite serious. So when I found out it's lymph node TB, it didn't come as a big shock then, but it was a good reminder of, oh yes, it happens outside of the lungs too, because even though you kind of know this, you you see so much visual messaging around just pulmonary TB that it's very easy to conflate it with that. And I had no symptoms apart from that swollen lymph node. I'd lost some weight, but I'm not somebody typically who gains weight easily in any case. But I had literally no other symptoms except for that swollen lymph node.
So my first experience was through very persistent symptoms, which I ignored to some extent. So that was incessant coughing. And I was prescribed regular cough medicine.
Devshree Lokhande is an architect from Pune. Devshree contracted TB in 2011 and was misdiagnosed by her doctor.
In India, there is an inherent class system which they would say that TB is a disease of the poor. So if you're coming from a slum area and then you go to a doctor, then they would probably easily diagnose that you do have TB. But if you come from a middle class family, they would not immediately diagnose a cough as, you know, you should get an X-ray and we should clear this up. So this is what happened with me. So for almost 6 months, I had cough. No one thought that they should tell me to get an X-ray. Finally, I got very heavy fever. Obviously, I went to a doctor and the doctor at that point suggested that, okay, get an X-ray. And in the X-ray, it was seen that TB infection had already spread quite a bit in my left lung. And then within 1 week of that fever, I lost close to like 4-5 kg. Right at that first X-ray, I was 48 kg in weight. In 3 years, I was reduced to 28 kg. I was being moved around my house in a wheelchair. I had lost my hearing. I even couldn't speak for a period of 6 months. We were told in my city, hometown, that there is nothing more that the doctors out here could do. And they told my mom, you know, just take her home and let her go peacefully. Let her be happy.
I just didn't consider TB as a serious disease.
TB survivor and advocate Akshata Acharya in Mumbai.
I never considered this as a very severe disease which needs to be taken a lot of care. Mine was extra pulmonary tuberculosis, which means the infection was outside the lung. There was only a very small swelling below my right ear. It was roughly around 2 cm. Normally people face, like, there's loss of appetite, there are fevers, or there's random dropping in the weight. Even I associated, okay, if a patient is coughing blood, maybe that is how you have TB. Other than that, there's no scope. But now that I've had it, I know that TB can affect any of your body parts other than your hair and your nails.
Whilst many people suffer from an active strain of TB, many, many more carry a latent form of the infection.
If you speak about a country like India, which has about 2.4 million cases of TB reported in the past year, we believe that about 40% of the entire population is latently infected. And about 5 to 10% of these individuals over a course of a lifetime will actually have active tuberculosis. It is active tuberculosis which then spreads from one person to another. And therefore, the aim of eradication would be not only to treat patients with active tuberculosis, but to try and eliminate this reservoir of disease in the population that's latently infected.
Despite the many drugs available to patients, there are some strains of TB that have developed a resistance to some of them. Contracting a drug-resistant strain of TB can be much more difficult for the carrier to manage and fight, and in some circumstances can take much longer to treat. Someone who contracted a drug-resistant strain of TB is Devshree.
For 3 years, I took TB treatment. Every 6 months, I was advised by the doctor to do a drug sensitivity test. Each time, I was sensitive to different drugs. So, say for 9 months, I took 4 medicines. After those first 9 months, those 4 medicines were changed to 4 other medicines. And this is very haphazard way of treatment of the disease. Although I was taking medicines very sincerely, regularly, everything by the book, there was absolutely no improvement in my condition. And in fact, it was getting much, much worse. My left lung was completely damaged. It was operating only at 6% capacity. And my right lung was operating at 94%. The left lung was acting like a dead weight. This was in May 2017 that I had the pneumonectomy, where the left lung was removed.
In terms of diagnosis, 25 years back, when REED started, that time we had only a sputum test.
Dr. Ramya Anantakrishnan is the Executive Director of Research Group for Education and Advocacy for Community Health, or REACH for short. REACH was established in 1999 in Chennai on India's southeast coast and have become a key partner in the country's fight to eradicate TB.
But today, we have newer diagnostics such as NAT testing, nucleic acid amplification testing, where a person with TB gets diagnosed within a 2 hours time frame. For a drug-resistant TB, 25 years back, the person with TB had to take treatment for 6 months. If that person didn't respond, they'll have to take treatment for another 9 months. So by the time a person is diagnosed as drug-resistant TB, it took close to 2 to 2.5 years. Today, we will know whether a person has drug-resistant TB or not right at the beginning of treatment. So I think that has been a single game changer.
The number of deaths because of drug resistance are immense.
A company has developed a new test which not only tells you if your strain of TB is drug-resistant, but also which drugs it is resistant to.
I am Dr. Gunisha Pasricha. I'm the Associate Director for Infectious Disease at MedGenome Labs. So this is a proprietary test which we develop considering tuberculosis is a major health issue in India. It is called SPIT-Seq. SPIT in the terms of actually saliva, spit, and seq is nothing but short form of sequencing. SPIT-Seq is for drug-resistant testing, which is a major problem across the globe. This particular test will actually help the clinician tell which drugs could be given. And in case the patient is already on certain drugs already, it can recommend changes in the drug regimen. It can also recommend in changes in the dosage, which becomes very important, especially when it comes to multi-drug resistant and extreme drug resistant TB cases.
The speed at which the test can be analyzed and sequenced could be beneficial to the patient and those around them.
If you would adopt a regular conventional test, the results would come out in 10 weeks. However, for SPIT-Seq, it takes between 10 to 14 days for the results to come. Therapy could be started at the right time, which will actually help the patient, decrease the cost to the patient, and also the drug resistance spread in the community will be decreased.
I'm Vrishbhanu Barua, and you're listening to the documentary India's Fight Against TB from the BBC World Service. Throughout the years, many groups have been established to help people navigate the illness, from informing them about the realities of TB to helping them through their care.
In the last 10 years, we have worked very closely with people who had TB, who are called the TB survivors. And today we've trained thousands and thousands of TB survivors as TB champions, so that they can participate in TB prevention efforts across the country.
Could you tell us how the situation was in Chennai back when you started and how is it right now?
Nobody wanted to even tell that they had had TB in the past. So that was the scenario 25 years back. Women were ostracized, people lost their jobs. And all this contributed to a person who had TB not willing to put up their hand and say, I had TB.
One of the biggest issues that India faces when tackling TB isn't just people contracting it, but about the perceptions of the disease and those that it affects. The disease thrives on people who are in close contact and are more likely to be malnourished, which means it's become associated with the so-called slums of the country's big cities. One of the cornerstones of India's push for eradication is destigmatization and hope that most sufferers come forward to receive treatment.
Survivors Against TB is a community collective, and it was really born from the idea that there was very little participation from TB-affected communities, particularly survivors and those with lived experiences in TB, in both policy and programs.
Chapal Mehra is a public health specialist and is one of the founders of the advocacy group Survivors Against TB, who encourage and support people to speak openly about their experiences.
Typically in India, but also globally, policy programs are developed by professionals and by bureaucrats. Our community collective was formed really to bring together the voices of people who have lived experiences. We also work extensively in the media and with communities, really to mainstream positive narratives about how TB should be destigmatized, considering how big a problem it is in India, and how we can make TB care less stigmatizing, more person-centered, and empathetic.
Survivors Against TB was established in 2015 and has members across India.
I wasn't really worried that I'd be stigmatized, but there was internalized stigma.
TB survivor and advocate Ashna Ashish again.
I think it came from a space of fear for my loved ones, but still, it was definitely internal stigmatizing. However, when you stigmatize people or yourself, what happens in terms of mental health aspects and the lack of belonging and isolation, all of those things are there. And then there's also something that people overlook, which is there's a public health component, right? Because the harder you make it for people to admit that they have TB or say that they have TB, the more likely they are to not seek treatment or get tested. And this is an infectious illness. So if you're going to drive this underground, then your public health goal of elimination is also threatened. It's in everyone's best interest, whether we look at this from the angle of human rights and just being humane and kind and empathetic to our fellow human beings, and from a public health goal to address the related stigma. And for more and more of us who've gone through it to speak out and talk about how it's just an illness. It's not a character flaw. It doesn't define you in any way. It doesn't mean you're broken. It's not your fault. More people out there need to hear this. It's incredibly important for survivors who are comfortable to also speak up about TB and how it is an illness and it's no one's fault and how stigmatizing doesn't really help anybody, public health-wise or humanity-wise.
It was in 2016 when I was preparing for my pneumonectomy. That was when I first approached Survivors Against TB. Until that point, I was a very shy person who felt, or rather everyone in my community or my friends or extended family, they would be like, okay, you had TB, but why do you have to keep talking about it? You got done with it, you just move on. Why do you want to talk about it? You know, it's something shameful, you should hide it. That stigma is what it used to sort of make me feel that, you know, I have done some crime, and that is so horrible for a patient to feel. I am talking about my disease to not just feel empowered myself, but to also give a voice to the untold stories of so many patients who, you know, silently bear the burden of not just TB, but all the mental health side effects, all the physical side effects, all these things which are, you know, just brushed under the carpet. Like, come on, what are you making such a big deal about it? Just take your medicines and get over it. That's not how it works.
What Devshree said is right. People really are reluctant to talk about TB. While researching, I recalled that my mother had contracted an infectious disease when I was just a couple of years old. However, I wasn't sure if it was TB or something else. To confirm, I asked her if it had actually been TB that she had suffered from. She looked at me in utter disbelief.
As a medical doctor myself, I can tell you that people look at you in a different way because you deal with tuberculosis. It's not a very well appreciated job.
Dr. Luchika Ditiu is the executive director of the Stop TB Partnership based in Geneva and is part of the UN's drive to eradicate TB by 2030.
In India, we meet very frequently, and it's one of the things that we do a lot at Stop TB is really supporting civil society, communities, and the networks of survivors. So we met with a young survivors of TB, and there was a beautiful young lady who actually was so ashamed to tell that she has TB that she didn't want to tell even to her own family. So for the entire duration of the treatment, she was hiding that she is sick. I would say that stigma is one of probably the biggest obstacle in ending this disease.
The disease thrives on people who are in close contact and are more likely to be malnourished, which means it's become associated with the so-called slums of the country's big cities. It's because of this association that the illness has become known as a poor man's disease. But TB does not discriminate.
I work at a tertiary care private institute, and the patients, when they are told that they have tuberculosis, often register shock and awe because they assume that it's something that does not happen to people like them, in inverted commas, because they think that it would predominantly seen amidst poverty among individuals who belong to lower socioeconomic strata. But I think that's not true, simply because a lack of immunity is what predisposes you to tuberculosis. And even a condition like diabetes, which is a lifestyle-associated disease and seen in predominantly more affluent individuals, can completely predispose you to the development of TB. So while it is true that a preponderance of the disease would occur in individuals of a lower socioeconomic strata, it's definitely not uniformly true, because there are plenty of other conditions that can suppress your immunity and predispose you to the disease as well.
I do feel there is definitely much more awareness, more so in the younger generations. Some college students who contract TB and their friends wouldn't tell them, you know, go away, you know, don't sit with us or things like that. That is sort of a positive result of all the advocacy that has happened in our country and all over the world, where so many voices have contributed to this awareness and to this vigilant behavior, where it is not appropriate anymore to stigmatize a patient. There is so much sensitivity towards dealing with patients. Although, I mean, of course, there's always room for improvement, but it is a great start.
Narendra Modi's aim of eradicating TB by 2025 is certainly ambitious, and the country has been making real strides towards the goal. For the past 5 years, scientists have been testing 2 vaccines in 7 research centers across the country. Meanwhile, under a scheme run by the National TB Elimination Program, patients with the disease now get 500 rupees a month towards nutritional support.
People are never happy.
Dr. Luchika Ditiu again.
They give 500 rupees to every person with TB. It's a cash transfer. It is enough? Absolutely not. Is it a pathetic amount? Absolutely yes. Do we have another country in this world that give a penny to a person with TB for free? Do we? No, we don't.
The task the country has set itself is enormous. But crucially, is it achievable by 2025?
I don't think so, honestly.
Akshata Acharya again.
There's a long way to go, but having said that, we as a country are making a lot of progress when it comes to providing quality care.
Our country has tried very hard to put a system in place to achieve this goal. But I do feel that because we have set such an ambitious target, the efforts have tried to match up to it. I probably think that it would be the global goal of ending TB by 2030. That is something probably possible. But the 2025 goal would have to wait and watch, but I don't think it's possible for India.
I think I must be the only person in the last few years who've been saying this again and again, so I'm not uncomfortable answering this question. No, it is not possible.
Co-founder of Survivors Against TB, Chapal Mehra, again.
It's not even possible by 2030. Not statistically, not clinically, but it is an important goal. It is an important political priority. But this is a very important opportunity. That the fact that you think you want to eliminate TB, I think is a very important, very, very critical ask, because then you need to do a backward look and say, who is being left out of the care? Who is not getting a diagnosis? Who is unable to complete their treatment? Who is getting treatment that is not suiting them? Who is not getting nutrition? Who is being stigmatized? Whose mental health challenges are not being addressed? All of this can be addressed, and all of this will relate to improved quality of care. The question is, if you want to eliminate TB, are you giving people the services they need? Are you giving them the information that they need? Do you make the TB care journey easier? So that is why this goal is important, not because we will ever reach it, but because we need to use this as a leverage to start a conversation about what we need to do.
Dr. Ramya, could you just list the obstacles and hindrances that would prevent any sort of elimination of TB in India in the year 2025?
One is the extremely ambitious targets. I think epidemiologically and realistically, it may not be possible to meet those targets. We have laid a fantastic foundation, and I think we really have to dig deep and ensure that the last mile delivery is strengthened in terms of getting access to best diagnostics access to best drugs and ensuring a person completes treatment. That is all it boils down to.
In your opinion, what is the timeline that we are looking at?
My opinion is we will not be able to eliminate TB in 2025. And a more realistic goal could be 2030. Maybe we should have a 2028 target so that we don't lose the momentum that we have created with the 2025 target and keep the momentum going.
So I think actually I would say 2026, when we will look back at the target that was supposed to be reached by end of December, I will be sure to say that India will succeed. There is a huge unprecedented increase in the funding. There is a huge unprecedented effort in embracing people with TB, making it a problem of the entire society, which is what we are needing. And they are serving as a, will they be the example for at least, I don't know, half of the countries that are high burden countries from Asia? Yes. So from that point of view, I stand my ground saying it in 2018 and now that for me, India's effort in ending TB by 2025 will be successful.
In the meantime, back here in Assam, my home in the northeast of India, the battle against TB continues. Assam has one of the highest TB prevalence rates in India, and the tea garden communities are especially vulnerable. The lack of timely diagnosis and treatment exacerbates the situation, leading to more deaths. If eradication really is on the cards, people will take some convincing. The documentary, India's Fight Against TB, was presented by me, Brishbhanu Borua, in India. The producer was Kurt Brooks, and it was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service.